Lord, we thank you in this place today that you are our living hope. Lord, that we don't worship some dead God. We don't worship some idol. We don't worship some picture or something like that. Lord, we worship a living God, a God who loves us, a God who has an amazing plan for our lives if we will just trust in him and believe in him. Dear Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. Amen. 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 Sometimes when we think about Easter, we think of a lot of different things. You know, there's different things that we think about. Sometimes we think about food. We think about going and eating somewhere. We think about kids hunting eggs. And we think about all kind of things like that. Family get-togethers, pastel colors, purple. My wife dressed me this morning. But when it comes to the true meaning of Easter, I want you to know something. Empty is a good thing. Empty is a good thing. Empty, 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 empty. Empty is a good thing. When we look at Easter in the proper light, we understand what really happened, what was going on, and why we celebrate Easter. When Jesus was murdered, when he was nailed to the cross, they buried him in a tomb, basically a cave that you go into. Some of you have been into that cave that have been able to go to Israel, down at the garden, and you go into that cave and you come out never the same. Gwen and I, when we were there, we got to go twice. We went one day and then we went back the next day to the garden tomb. And the second day we didn't go into the tomb, but we sat right across from the opening and we watched people's faces as they walked in and we watched their faces as they came out. It was different. They walked in not expecting, not knowing, not sure what to see or what was going to happen. But when they walked into that empty tomb, there was something special about being in there, knowing that on that slab of stone that was over to the right-hand side as you walked in, the Lord Jesus Christ had laid there, dead for 3 days. But he wasn't there. And when people walked out of that tomb, you could see the face expressions, the eyes, the difference in their life, that they're just experiencing something that was empty. And some of you may have come here today empty. But I want you to know something. Before you leave here, Jesus wants to fill you up. Jesus wants to fill you up. So when we read that first scripture a while ago, Luke 24, 1 through 8, it tells us that empty was there. The women, verse 5 says, they were terrified and they bowed down with their faces to the ground. And the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed in the hands of sinful men and be crucified. He would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered this. Have you ever been told something and you just forgot? My forgetter's working better than it ever has. I don't know about yours. My forgetter's working great. I can walk up to someone that I've known for years and I'm going, I can't remember their name. Or you call someone on the telephone and while it's ringing, you forget who you called. Anybody been there? Yeah, and you're going, okay, blah, 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 blah. And so you hang up and go, now who was it I called? And then you call back and go, I'm sorry we got cut off a while ago. These people had been with Jesus, most of them for 3 years, some of them for a little bit longer, a shorter time. They had been with Jesus. And Jesus had been telling them something that was going to happen. Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be murdered. I'm going to go to the tomb. 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life. I read that story in so many places in the gospel, and I read it again over in Corinthians, and I read it again in Romans, and I see that, and I go, why were these people so dumb? Why couldn't they catch it? We see it because we're on this side of it. They could not accept it on that side of the cross, on that side of the tomb. They could not accept it. They kept expecting something from Jesus that Jesus was not going to offer. They expected Jesus to be the, the new kingly ruler, that he was going to take care of the Romans, and they were going to set up an earthly kingdom, and everything was going to be great, and they wouldn't be under oppression anymore. Washington, D.C. wouldn't tell, I mean, Rome wouldn't tell them what to do anymore. But that's not why Jesus came. He did not come to set up an earthly kingdom. He came to set up a heavenly kingdom. And they couldn't see it because it wasn't what they were looking for. Sometimes God promises us things and we can't believe it and we can't see it because that's not what we're looking for. We want something else. We want things to be answered in a different way. We want our prayers to be answered in a different way. We want the situation to change in a different way. We want God to do something miraculous, and he says, I am, but not in the way that you think it's going to happen. These ladies came to the tomb, and they shouldn't have been surprised because they had heard. You think they would have got up that morning and said, hey, you know what? It's the third day. My sundial says it's the third day, and we need to go down to the tomb, and we need to see if Jesus is alive because he said he was going to be. But that's not what they said. That's not what they did. They came there expecting to find a dead Jesus, and they found a risen Savior. Let me tell you what. Jesus finds us in those situations. He finds us in those places. The empty was something that they did not expect, but it was something good. Empty's not always bad. Empty, the second thing is, empty is proof. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, it says this, then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders and the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. Another place that Jesus said, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. But in 3 days I'm going to rise again. And yet, they still didn't hear. Jesus often closed out his teaching with the little phrase that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He didn't mean that, if you got an ear. He meant, do you have an ear that really hears, that really listens, that really listens? Are you sure? Are you sure? It's like the man and the woman always talked about, she always said, you can't hear anymore. He said, what? She said, you can't hear anymore. And he said, no, you can't hear anymore. So they had this argument. So one day, she's in the kitchen by the sink washing dishes, and he walks up. He goes, I'm just going to test you. I said, got on the other side of the room. He said, hey, honey. Now, the reason men, sometime when they get older, call their wife honey or sweetie or sugar, because they forgot their name. So he says, hey, honey, nothing. Sits there, keeps washing dishes. Walks up about halfway through the room and says, honey, nothing. She doesn't move. He walks up right behind her, like this close, and he goes, honey. She turns around and says, what? He said, have you not heard me? She said, have you not heard me? I answered you 3 times. Sometimes we don't hear because we're not listening. We're not focusing. We're not paying attention. And Jesus said, I will die and I will come back again. You ever heard of everyone make a bunch of claims that they can't back up? You ever heard somebody say, we're going to do this or I'm going to do this? Let me tell you what. Everything Jesus promised, he's done. Jesus said he was going to come and he did. Jesus said he was going to live a sinless life, and he did. Jesus said he was going to die on the cross, and he did. Jesus said he's going to rise in 3 days, and he did. Jesus said, I'm going to ascend to the Father, and he did. And Jesus said he's going to come back, and he is. He's coming back. Whatever Jesus says, it's going to come true, because that's who he is. It's powerful. It's powerful. Empty is powerful. Jesus had the power over death. Because Jesus died and rose again, because Jesus said he is, Jesus has the power of sin's greatest weapon, and that is death. For you see, until Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there was no death. Nothing would die. They would be eternal. They would live forever. They would not die. But once sin entered the world, death came. It came to animals. It came to humans. It came to everyone. Now, they lived a lot longer than we do. God had another reason for them to live like Methuselah, 969 years. Noah, all those years that he lived, and Adam, 900 years. I wouldn't mind living 900 years if I could live like 800 as a kid, 50 as a teenager, and then the last 50 maybe as an adult. It's not as much fun being an adult. You got young people quit trying to grow up so fast, I promise you. Don't try to grow up so fast. But he said it was going to happen, and it happened. There was no death until sin entered the world. But Jesus has the power. Jesus is the one who says, I can give you life. How can he give us life? Because he has the power of sin and death. He has the power over it. He can give us life. He says, I can make it so that you will never really die. Now, not humanly. Humanly, these bodies are wasting away. We're going to die humanly. But he said, you can live forever, eternally, if you'll just trust in me. He has that power. The empty tomb shows that Jesus has the power over death. He looked straight into the eyes of death. Satan was over there wringing his hands going, we got him now. We have killed God's son. He is dead. And he was sitting there going, one day, 2 days, and then he heard something rumbling. What happened? Christ came forth, alive. He was seen by the disciples. He was seen by many people. He was seen by over 500 people in one place. Jesus Christ is alive. He came back over death. He looked death right in the eye and said, get out of here. I can defeat you. The fourth thing we know is this. Empty is permanent. You know, plenty of people go to Jerusalem every year like we did. They walk down some of the same roads, the Via Dolorosa that Jesus did. Go to some of the same places that he did. One of the places that I love to visit there is where they believe Jesus was buried. That tomb. Now, they have one that they've made real ornate downtown, and it's a big sepulcher, and all a few people go there, but the Bible says he was buried in a garden tomb. And near there was a place called Golgotha, which is the place of the skull. It wasn't just that there was a lot of skulls there because there had been a lot of crucifixions. The actual rock looks like a human skull. It's right behind the garden tomb. And when you go there, you see those things. You see those things. Now, Jesus wasn't in that tomb 3 days after he died. And he isn't there today. And he'll never be. Because he has a permanent place in heaven with our Lord, with God. Empty means Jesus is who he said he is. Empty means Jesus has the power over death. And empty is permanent. But let me tell you what. Empty tomb means your empty doesn't have to be empty. God placed within every one of us a God-shaped void. That God-shaped void is like a puzzle spot where you do a whole piece of puzzle and there's one missing. And you keep trying to take a different piece of puzzle and trying to put into that spot and it won't fit. And you keep looking and you keep searching and you keep until you finally find that one piece of puzzle that fits and you put it there and it's complete. It's complete. The puzzle is finished because it fits. In our world, you may have tried to fit all kinds of things into that spot in your heart that God has created. But it won't fit. You may try to cram it in there. You may try to push. You try to shove. Try to do all those things. But until you find Jesus Christ and put him in that place, nothing will satisfy. But let me tell you something else. What's great is the piece of puzzle's looking for you. He's looking for you. Now, when I do a puzzle, you know, it's always the one piece you just can't find. But wouldn't it be great if that piece of puzzle said, hey, I'm right over here. Here I am. Try me. Put me in that place. Put me in that. And that's what Jesus is saying to us today. He said, please, put me in that place. And if you'll put me in that place, you'll find fulfillment and you will find peace and you will find joy and contentment like you've never known. So if you're here this morning and you've never tried Jesus, try Jesus. I'm telling you, if you put him in that spot, you'll never want to remove him and you'll never experience joy and peace and fulfillment and contentment like you will when Jesus is in that place, when he's in that place. But in order for him to fit in that place, you got to be empty. That's why empty's good. Because you see, until you can empty yourself, then he can't fill you up. Until you can come to him and say, Lord, I put everything aside. I empty myself before you, and I want to try you. It can't be both and. It's either or. Either you're filled up with the world and all the things of this world, or you're filled up with Jesus. And let me tell you what, if you're filled up with the world and the only thing of this world, this is as good as it gets for you. But if you let Jesus fill you up, this is as bad as it gets. Because it's going to be great and glorious when he takes us from here to that glorious place he's prepared for us. If you haven't trusted Jesus and you haven't placed him into your life, let him come in there. He's searching for that spot. But you got to be empty for him to come into that place and to experience his joy in your life. In just a few moments, we're going to take the supper of our Lord. As we take the supper of our Lord, it is a symbolic act. There's nothing magical about it. There's nothing that becomes a greater place to receive God's grace, but it's a remembrance of what he did for us. If you're here in this place, there's a couple of things. It is for believers. It's not for non-believers. If you're not a believer, then I would ask that you refrain from taking this supper, because the scripture warns against that in Corinthians. Also, in our church, we practice open communion. That means that anyone who is a believer in Christ is welcome to come to the table with us. It's not for just our church members or a certain denomination or certain people. It's for those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, a symbolic act of remembering his death, burial, and resurrection. But when you finish that cup, we'll take them up, but you can take that cup if you want. And remember this, that cup's going to be empty when you get through, just like the tomb was, just like your heart needs to be in order to accept Christ into that place in your life. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you. And Lord, that you invite us to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with you. As we come to this time, we come to this place, Lord, fill us up with your power and your glory and your strength as we serve you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.